I speak to you in the name of God who created everything, in the name of the Son who came among us, and in the name of the Spirit who is with us in this very moment. Amen. In the beginning was the screen, and darkness covered the face of the screen. But Father said, "Let there be light." And he plugged it in, and there was light. And the new Zenith console color TV shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. It was our family Christmas gift for 1975. And it was like a great mystery unfolding before our eyes. Because a month before Christmas, the biggest present that we had ever seen suddenly appeared in the corner of the living room. We couldn't stop looking at it. We couldn't stop wondering, what could this gift be? And how will it change our lives? And then it was opened, and the screen was revealed, and light in all its technicolor glory filled the room. We knew that our lives would never be the same. At least that's how I saw it as a 10-year-old boy. I've grown up, and the screens have changed. But our questions haven't changed, have they? With each new screen, we still ask, what could this be, and how will it change our lives? We certainly have lived screens in the last 20 months, haven't we? But now the screens have become both bigger and smaller at the same time, just as our world has become bigger and smaller at the same time. It's as though each new screen is yet another mirror reflecting what we are becoming as a people and as a world. Sometimes the screens are so big, like our Zenith color TV, that they can't fit under the tree anymore. Sometimes they are of such monolithic gravity that they have to be unveiled like sacred objects. Picture Times Square in your mind for just a moment. But sometimes the screens are smaller, so that these windows into the world can be carried in our pockets for our convenience, or worn on our wrists so that with just a casual glance, we can see all that is happening. Or is it so that we can be reminded of all that we are missing? I don't know. And now the screens are so sophisticated that they respond to our very touch. All we have to do is point our finger and everything changes. Whatever we desire comes into being. It's almost as though we think that we can be like God. Now, when we look at the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, it's as though Adam is stretching out his finger in creation when it's supposed to be the other way around. Far be it from me to point the finger and say that we have fallen. But haven't we lost something in our thirst for novelty or our hunger for human invention? We have only to turn over our iPhones or iPads to see how we still keep taking a bite of that same apple in our desire to be like God. I'm not saying that the next new screen is just another forbidden fruit, but maybe God is trying to tell us something. Perhaps in our fascination with these devices, God is trying to tell us that there is something wrong with us when we would rather hold on to a screen that we can control than embrace a Savior who asks us to let go of control. Or maybe what we've experienced these past 20 months are really screens showing us ourselves. Maybe they are mirrors reflecting the deepest desire of our hearts, a yearning to be connected, a longing for intimacy. Sometimes the screens are all we've had to be connected to one another, to feel like we are one. Yes, the screens have changed, but our desire for intimacy hasn't changed. And when the next screen comes along, we will still be asking the same questions. What could this gift be, and how will it change our lives? But today, it's not just screens that we ponder. We have a deeper mystery to unravel, a more profound gift, one that does change our lives, a reality that is deeper than anything that we can see on a screen or reach out and touch with our hands. Today, in fact, every day, the gift is not a screen. The gift is God, God's very self in the person of Jesus Christ. The gift of God among us, of love literally made flesh. That's why we're here today, isn't it? For something deeper? Aren't we coming to this place with the same questions that puzzle children who wonder what Christmas will bring? Don't we want to know, what could this gift be? And how will it change our lives? And so John's Gospel tries to answer that for us, to tell us something about who Jesus is and how he changes our lives. John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and that life was the light of all people." And what that beautiful, compelling prologue invites us to wonder every Christmas when it rolls around is, why? Why is there existence rather than nothingness? Why did God decide to take the primordial soup of chaos and stir life into being, when God could have just enjoyed her perfect fellowship and unity as Creator, Son, and Spirit? Why? Because of love. Because the timeless love that is shared between God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is of such passion and longing that it yearns to break free and give of itself, to create. And that yearning bursts forth for us in the person of Jesus, the Word made flesh. Because in the whole of our relationship with God, from the first "let there be light" to the last "it is finished," God is enticing us into relationship with him by becoming one of us. That's what we celebrate today. That is the gift, God becoming one of us. In taking on our frail humanity, in God's willingness to share our experiences of grief and joy and pain and delight. God has made the ultimate gesture of love. And what God has taught us in this act of self-offering is what we learn about love in our own lives. In coming to us in the form of a helpless infant, God is saying that there is no love in our lives that did not first reach out in helplessness and uncertainty, naked and afraid, waiting to be nurtured until that love could be returned. In other words, to truly love another, you must be vulnerable. You must give over part of who you are and trust in the beloved. That's been so difficult during this pandemic, hasn't it? Trusting in the beloved. And it is the mystery that God has given over his very self in Jesus to become one of us that changes our lives. The gift is that God so intensely desired a living relationship with us that he came to us in our flesh to embrace our humanity so that we would be embraced by God's divinity. And God's desire to embrace you in this act of self-giving has everything to do with your desire to love and to be loved. Because as Christians, we believe that love is not something we own or are owed. We believe that our deep yearning to share all of who we are with another is not just some genetic hardwiring that we brought into this life. And it's not just something we pick up along the way on our journey through this life. What we believe, what this reading from John's Gospel compels us to proclaim each Christmas, is that Jesus is the gift. And it is only through him that we know what love truly is. Of all the gifts that you will receive this day, this is the only one in which the giver is the gift. Amen.